This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here is episode 38, where I talk with Sawyer Fell about their poem, Exulansis. I hope you enjoy.
I'm Sawyer Fell from Young Writers Project, and this is my poem, Exulansis. I don't remember falling, but I still have the scars from when I touched the hollow earth and I screamed Bloody Mary for God to save me. How did you build me? Did you ransack essence from unholy angels and mold a frame that is coarse to the bone that no one sober would ache to caress? Am I only meant for the corrupt? I fathom that your purpose is to knead my dominance into extinction, exploit my hollow and unhallowed cage. Your cupidity violates my fresh carcass. I want to reclaim what's left of it. Reconstruct the ligaments with his blood while scouring for a new skeleton to fabricate these new untouchable walls. But his hands still lay claim on the plaster, and this old soul house quivers when the wind flushes against it like a blanket. This house is dissembling burnt church roots with no vacancy for the pardoned. Perhaps someday, serendipity will flood through the pipes and cleanse this dwelling of the crimson markings that stained its wood. Until then, the floorboards will creak, and I will lay in my bed, writhing, dreading the day he returns home to me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is an interesting title. What is the meaning and what was your inspiration for choosing that?
Well, I remember getting new dictionary and just getting really obsessed with writing words and learning the definitions of words. So exulansis means the tendency to give up trying to talk about their experience because people are not able to relate to it. I like perceiving definitions as more so pictures and like scenarios than just like simple words. So for me, it's kind of like talking to someone about something and just like being really into it and explaining a lot of it and then not getting it or just not being able to really connect with the feeling. So you're kind of left in this isolated space of just not being able to deal with anything with anybody else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like not really wanting to share your experience because you feel like everyone's going to kind of react in that way and like not be interested.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. I like how you picture the definition as like a scenario rather than just like an explanation.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, there's this podcast called Away With Words, and they talk about like words and phrases that people use and like how they came about and like the history behind them. It sounds a little bit boring, but it's really interesting.
No, I'll totally like that.
One of the co-hosts, I can't remember his name, but he and his wife used to work at this dictionary and they would write the definitions of words. Mm-hmm. And they would like find books that use the words and like copy down the sections and stuff. And I was like, that's just the coolest thing to like write dictionary definitions.
Yeah, I totally love that.
So what was your inspiration for this poem?
It started out as an angel kind of falling with, I don't remember falling, but I touched the scars from the hollow earth and screamed for Bloody Mary for God to save me. It started with that little stanza and then I wanted to leave it off there because I never thought about expanding on the feeling of it. And then I started like reading it over and over again and I didn't feel like it was actually finished because I never feel like any of my poems are finished. So honestly, if I could, I would write like a whole epic of just poems and just elaborate on every single feeling and word of that whole thing. So it could be totally just explained and everybody could kind of understand it in a way because this whole poem is like about people not understanding. So and I always have like a trouble with knowing, like over explaining myself and trying to get people to understand what I'm saying, because if they don't, then it's kind of like awkward and they're going to have to like stand there like, okay, well, moving on. So yeah, it just kind of started out as a angel kind of falling.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite line to write?
My favorite line to write out of this whole thing, at the time, it was probably just that first stanza because I thought it was pretty explainable in that sense. You could get like a picture of someone totally like losing their whole whereabouts and just losing themselves in a way. And it's kind of painful, and you have to, it's just that feeling of being alone. But my whole, like, out of this whole poem, I feel like it would probably be, but his hands still lay claim on the plaster, and this old soul house quivers when the wind flushes against it like a blanket. I thought that was pretty good because I can see the image in my brain of what was actually happening, because I didn't want it to be like an exact house. I mean, I have, like, you see a house, and if you, when I'm seeing like a picture of this house that it's describing at first sight, without knowing the actual total meaning behind this whole poem, I would see like an abandoned house that's like, it has a lot of memories, kind of like one of those houses in a horror show where it has all those spirits and just little tidbits around that have stories and goes back way before everything started. So yeah, probably that one.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing too, like an old house, Victorian probably, that's been there for like a couple hundred years, very old, but like there's a lot of interesting stuff inside of it, like physical things, but also like memories, maybe like spirits and stuff.
Yeah.
So there are so many amazing lines in this poem. Like, how did you build me? Did you ransack essence from unholy angels and mold a frame that is coarse to the bone that no one sober would ache to caress? This is an amazing line. And what was your inspiration or kind of the meaning behind it?
It's kind of like saying to God, how did you build me? Like, did you set me up for doom? Did you make me this way so I can only feel pain? And why did you do this, essentially? Like, how and why, and just a whole questioning thing of faith, I suppose, which is totally interesting for me because I know a lot about like several different types of like religion, and I take time to like study stuff, but I'm not like particularly a religious person. I just like reading all the stories and like learning about it. So it's kind of weird how I always put like this little fallen angel into all of my poems, because it's like kind of consistent that I put this one little character or like similar to this character in every single little poem. And it just comes up sometimes subconsciously or sometimes purposefully.
That's really cool that you have like a recurring kind of theme or character in your poems.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely done the same thing where I've like been really fixated on like an image or a concept, and then it just shows up in like all of my poems.
Yeah.
Like for a while, I really love the idea of like walking on the ocean floor and like some things to do with the ocean and like fish and seaweed and all that. I was really obsessed with that. So all of my poems for like 6 months were just about the ocean.
Yeah.
Like walking on the ocean floor and just like all these different things. After that, I moved on to tea. And now I'm in a very orange peel mood.
Oh my God,
I don't really know why.
Yeah.
But all of my poems are about orange peels right now.
I love that. Orange peels are, I think, would be a nice thing to write about. I mean, you could dive into it. You could write about the texture, write about the taste, smell. You could do a lot of things with a lot of things.
Yeah, and I feel like it's kind of a poetic thing for some reason. Like, I have a document on my computer that's just called Poetic Words. And I just write down, like, all these words. I'm like, that is perfect for a poem.
Exactly. Like I have this whole document from eighth, like I started writing poetry, like getting into it in eighth grade, like last year. And then I just kept that document as a series of poems. And it's just been a progression of eighth grade to now, which I have all my recent poems and like old poems. And it's just nice to look back at it and see everything that's happening.
Oh, definitely. I've been reading a lot of my old writing because I keep running out of space on my computer because I have too many documents. So yeah. I'm like, okay, can I get rid of anything? And I'm like, no, I have to keep every piece of writing I've ever written, and I can't get rid of it.
Yeah. It's just like there for the background and just to refer back to you when you get an idea, because I love like writing. I love having the like a notebook with me or my phone, because I'll just be in the car or like at dinner with people or anywhere, and I'll just like think of a line. I'm like, oh, you can't forget that now. You got to write it down. So I always have to like write my stuff down, or else I'll forget it, or else it'll just be in the back of my brain for another time. And then you could just like expand on this whole thing. And I think that's kind of like how this poem started, just an idea of that little angel falling, essentially. So yeah.
That's really cool though that you can like motivate yourself to write it down. Usually when I get an idea, I'm like, I gotta write this down, and then I get distracted and I forget to, and then it's just gone forever. I spent like 5 minutes the other night trying to remember a line in my head that I had thought of, and I finally thought of it. I was like, yes. But I definitely have a hard time like thinking of an idea and then like actually writing it down, because I just get distracted so easily, and I'm usually like busy doing something when I get the idea.
Yeah, so it's like a secondhand thought. See, usually when I like think of stuff, or like if I have to write something for a poem, it'll usually be while I'm like making myself dinner or while I'm doing other work, and I'll be listening to other music, and I'll just have like all this these things around me, and I'll just get that thought like, huh, that's a pretty good line. You should probably write that down. And then sometimes I forget immediately after I think that line and I don't write it down. And then it's just like lost. I'm like, I should have probably written that down before, maybe.
Yeah, me too. That's what I think. And I get so mad at myself. I'm like, oh, that was such a good idea. Of course, like the one idea I forget is the best one I've ever come up with, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, back to your poem. Another line that I really like is, I fathom that your only purpose is to knead my dominance into extinction, exploit my hollow and unhollowed cage. This is like so powerful, and I feel like the narrator's letting out all of their like anger and revenge towards this like creator in a really like powerful yet elegant way. The language is beautiful, but the emotions are raw, and I feel like that kind of sums up the poem.
Yeah, I agree. I hate not having vocabulary, like big vocabulary in my poems, because I just look at it and I'm like, that needs a descriptive word for that one, and then that's not a quite right word. So I always just like am on my computer or like with my thesaurus or with my dictionary, like trying to like look up words that quite exactly describe it. Because if it's not perfectly described, then I'll feel like it's never going to be complete. And I hate the feeling of incompletion in poems. And like I have like 30 pages of incomplete poems that I just have not gotten to. And I want to complete them all, but they just don't have the right words. So I guess for that line, it kind of expanded onto something more than the story. Like I wanted something that was more powerful than just this storyline, and that was more, I wouldn't say relatable, but in honest sense, it's relatable, like with gender roles and like inequality. It's more of why, like exactly why are you doing this? You could be doing it so many different ways, but you choose to be like this. And it's just really kind of sad in all sense. It's really sad. And I just wanted to like go into that kind of vibe with that little stanza, because not stereotypes, what am I thinking? Like media portrayal with big social media stars like Kim Kardashian and movie actresses that rely on plastic surgery and Photoshop and everything to get fame and fortune in the world. It just kind of markets to a particular media, like teenage girls, like young people. And then with some other people, some other market influencers that like produce, not songs or anything, just like produce these fashion lines towards people, or like particularly women, to make them more childlike for, it just makes me sick in a way that this is how we've progressed into a society. And I just wanted to like review that kind of like covertly in this piece, not like make it in your face, but just kind of be there for a little like afterthought. So yeah,
I get what you mean. I think that there are definitely a lot of different interpretations you can take away from this, and there's a lot of meaning, and it's not really on the surface. You have to like dig to find it, which I think is really cool, instead of just like saying this is about this, you know. You have to make the reader like think and really examine it and kind of apply it to their own life, you know. And you're talking about like making things relatable and stuff, and that was another one of the lines I was going to talk about, which is I want to reclaim what's left of it. And I think that like reclaiming the narrator's power is such a relatable thing, you know, like after having someone kind of take us down or feel like we're less than who we usually are, reclaiming our power is such a like intense thing, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to like flesh that out more, and I wanted it to have a happy ending, but then again, like in reality speaking, this is more about like reality and coming to terms with like everything that's happening. It's probably not going to be different for a while. I mean, we take steps towards the right direction, and but there's still always going to be that little like piece that's still there to just like nag at you in the back of your brain. Yeah, like you said, I didn't want to make it exact because I don't want people to think there's an exact purpose to this poem. Like if you can relate it in some way pertaining to your life, that's exactly what I want it to do. That's exactly what I want to happen. Because I personally prefer poems that don't have an exact meaning in your face and you can portray it in a way that connects to you.
Yeah, I was relating it to when I had this like really toxic and unhealthy friendship. And, you know, I felt like I always had to have money on the weekend so we could go shopping and buy things that we didn't need, you know, and like buy crop tops and buy all these different things that I didn't need and like be this person that I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really that person, but I was trying to be that kind of girl because I felt like that's what my friend wanted me to be. And like I had to just cater to everything that she wanted. Like she was Regina George, you know, and I was just that like girl in the background, like, please like me. But then, you know, I cut off that friendship and now like I reclaim my power as like a person, not like trying to be someone else just so that someone else is happy, you know?
Yeah.
And it was so nice to like finally be myself again. My point is that, you know, there's always that little thing in the back of your head, like you're saying, you know, we're always like, well, what if this didn't happen, you know? And like, even though we're not friends anymore, I think to myself, like, what if we were, you know, would I be a completely different person? Would I have changed in all these really good ways if I hadn't cut off that friendship?
Like you, I was in like a series of toxic relationships with like friends and other people. And I think at the time I wrote this, I had just gotten out of a toxic relationship, like during, I don't know, like maybe November, I think that was. And it was like, honestly, really hard to go through because it was mainly a codependency at that point. So it was just a struggle to be without them. But knowing that they did all this horrible, like all these horrible things, to me and other people, it was just a lot to like deal with in a way. So like that line was mainly about me, like personally me going through like my brain and just filtering through my things in my brain that like still were me instead of them, because a lot of them impacted me and I kind of lost myself along the way with that. So
me too, kind of like losing myself in what I thought they wanted me to be or what I was told to be. Because a lot of times I feel like those really nasty friends that are terrible, they're always like, be like this, you know, look like this. And they tell you what to do. Like, no, you can't do that. And like, you can't be friends with this person because I don't like them. I don't approve, you know, like it's really terrible people, but like they tell you that. And then you start to become that person. You're like, I can't be friends with you because my friend told me I can't. Like really just terrible middle school stuff.
Exactly. Like controlling and posse kind of stuff.
And manipulative. And then
totally
this old friend that I have, we're not friends anymore. This is the one that I was like, just terrible. And I found out about like all the stuff that she did when right after we had stopped being friends. And I was like, I'm so glad I'm not involved in that. And like, that I don't have to start like being caught up in that drama and all of that, like, you know, teenager stuff that I just don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
So some moral lines that I really like to move on from all that is, we were talking about this before, but this old soul house quivers when the wind flushes against it like a blanket. This house is dissembling burnt church roots with no vacancy for the pardoned. I love that line. What was your inspiration?
So coming back to the angel, I wanted to create some sort of like holiness And with this, the word dissembling, I, in my language arts class, we have vocab like every single week, and we have to fill out a vocab chart and write 10 sentences. But I never write 10 sentences, and I write like a poem for each week because I can't write stories or like sentences. And just, I like to make a story, but with poetry, because like writing stories, like little short stories that aren't prose, that's particularly hard for me because I wrote like a 50,000 word poem or like story for NaNoWriMo in in eighth grade. And I didn't have to, but that essentially, it was just like my out. So I just like set myself for a goal for that month. And then writing all that stuff in 1 month burnt me out so bad that I still cannot write a simple story. Like that's maybe like 1,000 words and just simple lines. But Old Soul House Quivers. So again, like with the imagery, I like that a lot. And then with the burnt church roots. Okay, so the process of this poem is that like they're kind of like rebuilding the skeleton. So I think of the skeleton of the house, like the frame. And then they're kind of like just going from the inside to out. So at that point, they finally like created the house that they're living in. And it's some sort of like holiness in a way that's like, not in a bad way, but just like in a way that still lingers in the back of their brain that they don't, that was like a bad way in a sense, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, a little bit like uncomfortable maybe.
Yeah, like it's just there and kind of like an unsettling feeling.
Yeah.
So with no vacancy for the pardoned, I think that was like, in a way, like they feel like they're a bad person, like it's just a bad thing in general because all this stuff happened to them and they feel like they should be there for a reason. And this is like all happening for a reason, but they don't know what they did to deserve this exactly. So they're like vacancy for the pardon. I don't remember exactly how I went into that line, but it's still back in my brain. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know that you were talking about this a while ago, but the like different vocabulary words and turning those into a story or a poem. I actually did the same thing when I was in seventh grade. I don't know what grade it was, but back in like early middle school and late elementary school, I had the same teacher for a couple of years. And she would let me write stories using vocabulary words instead of just writing the definitions because I was like, this is way too boring. I'm a writer. And yeah. So, you know, I had this like pretentious tone already. And she was like, all right, then write a story using all the words. And like, that was so fun for me because like picturing all the different ways that I could use them and like the different stories I could write and talk about. And one of the stories that I wrote that was like half a page, maybe, it ended up being like a 20-page story at one point. But of course, I don't like it at all now. I'm like, there's so much wrong with this. Yeah. But at the time, I was so proud of myself that I had taken like these vocabulary words and turned them into like an actual story.
Yeah, that's the same thing with my teacher. Like, I didn't even ask if I could write poetry because it said 10 cent, like using at least 10 sentences with all the words. And then there was like a challenge where like use all the words in a single sentence or like as many minimal sentences as you want. And I'm like, that is challenge. I would like that challenge. But then again, I want a challenge that I would be interested in enough to actually complete the assignment by the due date. So, and like, I was just at the time, at the first time I was like learning these vocabulary words, it was like the beginning of the school year. And I was taking my first like creative writing course in high school. And I really enjoyed the fact that I could create, like you said, like a story with all these poems and like a poem or like a story with all these words and a poem with all these weird words that don't exactly relate to each other at first glance. But if you put it together with the story, then it makes total sense. And you could easily like find the definition for the word if you're just like looking at that sentence. So,
yeah. Yeah, like you don't really see a clear connection between them. But then once you write the story, you're like, oh, yes, of course, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Another line, your ending, which is dreading the day he returns home to me. And I feel like it is kind of, you know, you want a happy ending, but there is still this like unsettling kind of not knowing what's going to happen in the future feeling.
Yeah. With this, like this little stanza, I was still in the fact that it was about a toxic relationship, like personally with me. And it was kind of the fact where I was like, oh, he can change, like over and over and over and over again. And like, he can change. And then it just got to the point where he never did. And I snapped and I'm like, I'm done. I'm totally done. It was like right after my birthday too. So, and it's like, my birthday is right near Thanksgiving as well. I was supposed to be like,
oh no.
Yeah. So it was so just, I was so over it at that point. I'm just like, you know what? No. So after that, it was like after, like with the holidays, I didn't really have anybody to talk to. Like, cause I talked to them constantly and obsessively right after that day. And it was just a struggle to just stare at my ceiling and lay in bed and just like think about how I would talk to them until like the sun came up, like talk to them all night, or just have that feeling of security, but also knowing that all this horror, like all this stuff happened, and it was a horrible moment in my life. And it's kind of like that back and forth thing, like with a magnet, like you want them, but it's horrible and you know it's horrible and they like treat you badly and all this stuff. But you still miss them. So it's kind of like that kind of feeling. Yeah.
Oh man, that sounds so terrible. Yeah. But like, I can relate to that, you know, like wishing and convincing yourself that other people are going to change. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's like no one can change. You can't do the work for someone else. Yeah. My English professor was actually telling us that for our final assignment. She was like my favorite teacher I've ever had, honestly. She was so great. And our last assignment was talking about like, I can't even remember what the topic was, but she was saying how like, you know, we convince ourselves that people we like who aren't good for us, like toxic people, they can change. You know, you have to let the other person do their own work and like not try to do it for them. You can only change yourself is what I'm saying. That's definitely kind of what this poem is about in a way. Like it's one of the themes is that like you can't change other people.
Yeah, I had a hard time with like that sort of thing, like that sort of concept, because I personally have like this feeling in myself that I'm supposed to fix and change and help other people constantly. And it's my personal duty to do that, but it's actually not. And I'm not supposed to like save people or help people with certain things that they can do, because a lot of the times it just like leads up to a fact that you can rely on other people to an extent, but when it comes to things like you need to change yourself for the better or the good, you just got to do that. So, and you can't have other people change who you are in a sense.
Yeah, completely. I definitely agree with that. I think that to an extent, I am that person too. Like I'm always thinking, you know, I can change this person and like, they're going to be different with me because I'm so amazing and I'm so good at fixing people.
Yeah. I mean, like with fixing people and stuff in this poem, that's definitely like a topic that I wanted to make sure that people like understood, like an angel is supposed to, like help people in a sense and like guide them in the right direction, but there's no point in there being any guidance if it's not good. So, but then again, bad things are supposed to happen sometimes for there to be good things, which is I learned, like there's always a rainbow after rain. So.
Yeah. You know, you can't have good things all the time because then they're not going to be good anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing this poem. Moving on to some other questions. How did you first become interested in writing?
I was really young. I would always think of stories, and I used to have this obsession with The Nightmare Before Christmas. Like absolute obsession. It was all I talked about, all I thought about. It was my one thing for several years of my life. And I think I started writing, I think I started like playing pretend as a kid with Jack, and like making up scenarios. And then I got my first like Littlest Pet Shop set, and I started doing scenes from my brain, like acting out little scenes. And then I think my first like actual day that I really kind of like, I didn't know I liked writing, but I just like kind of started saying a story. And then was when my mom kind of like sat me down. She's like, well, think of a story and then I'm going to write it. And then you can draw little pictures for it. And it was like a story about a heart. It was really dramatic too. Like I'm like a little 5-year-old, 4-year-old child writing a story about like not a physical heart, like a human heart, but just like a shape of a heart, just like going through a story. Like their parents died apparently, but then like the end, like their parents were alive and then like everybody came back to have a party or something. Honestly, I think that was the first point where I knew I loved writing. And then the point where I knew I liked writing poetry was probably last year in 8th grade when I started my poetry unit with like my English teacher. I knew I loved reading poetry like before then, but I could never write poetry because I had always enjoyed writing songs and doing musical things instead. So I never thought I could like write actual poetry that would be good. And then we got into our poetry unit and I first started off, like my first favorite poet became Neil Hilborn, and I read like his whole Our Number of Days thing. And I still have that book because my English teacher gave me the book because I kept taking it out of her bin and reading it obsessively like over and over again. And I would have like bookmark tabs and she'd be like, why don't you just take the book? I have 2 other copies. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I went from there. And that's kind of where I started my Google Doc with all my writing poetry. And then it just kind of became history from that point.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love that moment when, you know, you find a really good book or a good poetry collection. You're like, yes, this is amazing. I'm just going to read this over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So a related question, how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
My poetry teacher this year, like early in the year, I took a class and I like started doing her assignments for poetry. And then she's like, you should like think about submitting it to like a literary magazine or just like somewhere to like get it out there. And because like you could probably do this in the future for like something, like maybe a career or just like a hobby or just like do spoken word poetry, because like it would be a waste for all this to like just sit in your Google Docs. So I'm like, okay. And then I started looking at 2021 Young Writers competitions and like magazines. And then I found this like Young Writers Project and I'm like, oh, so this is kind of like a blog, but it's not like an actual publication unless you do get published. And I'm like, that's honestly really cool. And for it to be like based in Vermont, because I love Vermont and my mom loves Vermont. Like we have a cabin in Vermont too. And East Burke. So it just kind of like spoke. And then I guess I didn't join really recently. I don't remember when I joined. I think I remember writing my email and I'm like, this is probably like really hard to get into. And if I don't get in, then I should not be like sad about it and or anything. So I sent my email and then I got like their approval like a day later. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I submitted my first poem. And then that didn't really get any recognition, but then I submitted like a second poem. And then that got more like attention than the last one. I'm like, I could get used to this more often. So yeah, I think it's played a good role. I like putting poetry out there and for people to just like read it and relate to it and just feel like they're not alone in a sense, because I feel like a lot of people right now, especially with COVID going on and like everything with the pandemic, we feel really alone. And now that is starting to like get back to like normal in a sense, it's still feeling really weird and funky. So I just want like people like me, who find solace in writing poetry and reading poetry, to just not feel alone. So yeah.
Oh, that's so great. I'm so glad that you can, you know, have such a great experience with writing with me so far, and like, you know, really have that dedication to make others kind of feel happy and feel like they aren't alone, because I feel like that's just so, so important.
Yeah.
All the time, to like not feel like you're alone, because I mean, I haven't seen people in person in like so long. I can't even remember the last time that I saw my friends in person. So it's nice to have this connection online.
Yeah, I haven't seen my friends in person since exactly March 13th, when we got like, when our school districts released us and said that we're going to be back in 2 weeks. Y'all can just have an extra week for spring break. And then it became a whole month, and then a year, and then summer came, and then now we're here at next summer.
Man, I mean, I started the pandemic with like all these friends. I haven't seen them in like over a year. I don't think we're even friends anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, like, honestly, I could check in and be like, hey, we good. But at this point, I don't think I want to.
Yeah. Like, it's just kind of cleaning out the closet of friends that you know will stick with you and like through anything, and then cleaning out the friends that won't and were just kind of there in your life. Yeah.
I mean, friends that you're like, that you hang out with just to hang out with, you know? Yeah. And now you're here recording the podcast. So what a great experience so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I was totally like stoked when you asked me. I'm like, holy, oh my God. Wow. Okay. And I always like wanted to talk to someone about poetry, because a lot of my friends don't like poetry. Like, they think I'm totally insane for writing all these poems and being so obsessed with like this one topic. But honestly, it's just my thing now. And it's just became like the thing that I really have not gotten tired of. And I still want to continue doing, and I think will be like, honestly, my dream, just my whole dream, is just to like write poetry, either like as a career or like a hobby or something. And I think this is like the bomb. This is awesome.
Ah, that's amazing. I'm working on a poetry collection right now. I feel like it sounds really weird when I say it out loud, but like, just me being weird.
Yeah. But
I'm working on a poetry collection of my poems, putting them all together. And I've been trying to find like contests and magazines and like small little publication places that do like one chapbook every 3 years and stuff. You know, little places where I can like submit my collection once it's finished in probably 5 years.
Yeah, put it off.
But as a result of all my search, I found this place called Crazy Horse, which is a literary magazine. And I was looking at poems on their website, and there was one by Ruth Madievsky. I think that's how you say her name.
Yeah.
And then I got down this whole like rabbit hole of reading her poems, and I found one called Everyone I Love is Drafting Their Own Eulogies. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And it's like so honest and so like casual, but really beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just love this writing style. And I feel like every few months I find a new poet or poem, and then I just like change my whole writing style to be just like them, because I'm like, yes, that's who I want to be.
I totally agree with that. I think a lot of influences, like you get a lot of influence from poets that you really love, and you just want to aspire to just be exactly like that, but like in your own way. Like, you want to be them, but in your own way. So I think I totally can relate to that as well. When I first started writing, I started writing in the way Neil Hilborn would write. And then I also read like Rudy Francisco's like Helium, and I have that book as well.
Oh.
And it just became that whole like stylized way of just writing exactly like that. But like, I totally agree with that.
Oh my gosh. I saw a couple of videos of Rudy Francisco reading his poems. I think it was like Button Poetry or something, some YouTube channel like that. And one about the girl at Starbucks that I didn't talk to or something. Oh my gosh, I love that one so much. I was like, oh, this is amazing.
I know. It was, I think it's like, I think his poems, like his spoken word poetry, was honestly like it was mind blowing for me. Just to like see him go up there and speak with such power and confidence and just amaze so many people in that certain way was just breathtaking for me. And it was breathtaking for me.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of had this whole idea of spoken word poetry, and I think that this is what a lot of people have, is that like it's got to be very like intense and like very kind of violent and like vengeful and like scary in a way. But I feel like there's so much more to it, and it's really just an honest story that you're telling. And there are so many spoken word poetry videos on YouTube that I love. Another one is Sabrina Benaim, I think that's her name. She's like sort of in the same circle of Rudy Francisco. I love how she starts with like a really simple, like almost grocery list sometimes, but then turns it into this like amazing reflection and like story. So kind of obsessed with her poems. I honestly just remembered her when we're talking. Like I haven't read her poetry in a while, but now I'm like, oh, gotta read that again. But honestly, just finding poems that speak to me is so important. And I feel like it just makes me feel so good and like so just energized.
And it's so like hard to like find good poetry sometimes. Like not good poetry, but like poetry that speaks to you in a way that you can really like take it and just like read it over and over again. You would never tire of it, just like a good song. So I just love that side of poetry.
All right, speaking of that, one last question. What books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
Authors obviously like I think more so like poets, maybe like Neil Hilborn, as I said, Rudy Francisco. I love Mary Oliver. I love her a lot. I also like Allen Ginsberg, and I like my favorite poem is a Western ballad, and it's like kind of like a prequel or like a side by side for an Eastern ballad. It's by it's like about the sun and the earth, like the sun rising in the west and setting in the east. We know rise in the east and sets in the west. And it's just kind of like it. Rises in the east, so it's like kind of hopeful for the day. And then when it sets, it's like reviewing everything that humanity has done and like, wow, you guys totally just ruined everything for yourselves at that point. So good luck with that. I'll see you tomorrow. But totally Allen Ginsberg. Probably I think I don't read a lot anymore. I try to like read books and just really get into reading books. And then I start reading a book and then I start drifting off into my own world. And then I never finish the book and I leave it like half or like a quarter finished. So it's kind of like hard to remember authors. I think I like John Green at a time. I really like John Green and like I think the Baltimore Stars and all that stuff.
Oh.
That was a big time for me. I love that. And then there's this one book called Mosquito Land that's like about this
Oh
girl.
my gosh, David Arnold. Oh,
Yes,
I love it
that was a beautiful book. I loved it
so
so much.
much.
I literally took it out of the library once a month to read it, and I like the librarian kept it reserved for me at that point. Like I
Oh.
honestly
Oh
needed
my gosh.
a month to just find that solace in that book. I'm like, it was my favorite book for the whole year. And
Oh,
then,
I love David Arnold, Mosquito Land, Kids of Appetite. He just came out with one called Electric Kingdom. I haven't read it yet. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have to. And I think there was one more that he wrote. Oh yeah, The Strange Fascinations of Noah Hypnotic. I think that's it. But oh, his writing, I love it. Kids of Appetite was so cool. Mosquito Land is amazing. Just such a good author.
I think that was like the only book in the library with that author, like David Arnold, I think. And I just like kept obsessively like reading and reading and reading. And then I got to a point where I wasn't done with the book, but I could probably take away a lot of things from that book and just be happy with what I have in my brain, and just like knowing that book exists, because that book was like really amazing and it was just amazing. And then probably my last kind of like big influence, I suppose, was like a series of unfortunate events. And I completely fell in love with Lemony Snicket, and I forget the actual like author's name, like not the persona or like writer's name, but the actual name. And I totally like, I have a good, I think I have 5 of the books. I think I have like the first, the third, the fourth, and then maybe the 7th and 8th. But I like read that entire series in like probably a month or and a half. It was my obsession, and I think it just like impacted a life, my life a lot, because I got a lot of friends, because I started like a club called SUI, like the acronym for Series of Unfortunate Events, in grade school, like 5th grade. And then I got a lot of my friends from that little thing. So yeah, that was probably a big influence on me too.
That's so cool that you started a little book club.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I love talking about books. It makes me so happy. Well, I think that's it for today.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
This has been episode 38 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 39. Bye.